السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة عبده وابن عبده وابن أمته ومن لا غنى به طرفة عين عن رحمته وأصلي وأسلم على الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المسداة محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وجنده وحزبه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بفضلك وكرمك ومنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ويا رب العالمين إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وما أنتم بمعجزين في الأرض أما بعد In the name of Allah, most graceful, most merciful, I bear witness there is no God worthy of worship except Allah the Almighty. I bear witness that Allah the Almighty, He sent us Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a seal and a final prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful upon us to send us Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who took us from darkness to light. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon Muhammad, the household of Muhammad, the wives of Muhammad, the companions of Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful Jum'ah to make us among the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful Jum'ah to resurrect us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to give us the chance and the ability and the opportunity to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah, say Ameen. Brothers and sisters, I would like to talk about who are the best people in society. And in order for that, I want to start with a question. How can we measure who are the best people in society? And usually when we talk about the best, we talk about success. And these things go sometimes together in our minds. In our societies nowadays, that the best usually are those who are successful in their fields. This is sometimes how we think. This is the norms in our societies. And the best, for example, the best in sports usually are those who win championships. And if they win more championships, guess what? They'll be the most paid in sports. We see in basketball, in football, in soccer, whatever you want to call, those are the top people. When they start winning, they start making more money. And when we talk about businesses, it's very easy to measure success because the most successful company or a business, they're the business that makes the most money. And this is easy for us to measure, easy for us to understand, easy for us to point out to say this company is the most successful company. And when it comes, for example, to doctors, get maybe tricky. Who is the most, you know, successful doctor? Maybe somebody with a lot of patients, maybe somebody who's famous. But at the end of the day, this doctor is making the most money in his field or her field. So now we have a new criteria within our society that haven't been there, what we call them social media influencers. Those people, we consider them successful because we see the numbers of followers and we see in millions. So if somebody has a million, wow, this person is successful. But he's not the same as somebody who has 20 million, 40 million, 200 million followers in social media. And we can measure success that way in society. And this is very easy way to measure success. This is very easy to point at people and say, those are the best people in society. Those are the best people in their fields. However, as us Muslim and a Muslim community in this society, of course we are influenced by what's going on in this society. So for sure we want us as adults, as children, to be successful in the society that we're in. That's why we seek the best. We seek to excel in education and every field that we're in, to be at the end of the day, to be successful in our fields. But to ask ourselves a question, is that the success we're looking at? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this life for us as al-hayatul dunya. And we try our best in this hayatul dunya to combine between two things. Number one, this, the material success, or to be success in our fields, and to be successful in our deen, in our Islam, and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that, how can we measure success when it comes to our children, to our students, to the next generations? We want them all the time to excel, to be the best in education, so they're the best in their field. At the same time, we want them to be the best in their deen, so they'll be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very hard for us sometimes to measure that non-material relationship that we have in our deen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I read something very interesting lately, written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, the author of the book Madarik al-Salikin, مدارج السالكين في بين منازل إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. He gave us a criteria or a way or a tool to measure who's better in society. When it comes to the deen, it's easy for us to measure who's successful when it's not has to do anything with the deen, what has to do with business, with success in your field. As I mentioned, this is easy to measure. But how do we measure among us who's better in the deen? When it comes to ibadah, I don't know if you worship better than me or I worship better than you, because this is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for somebody to come up with an idea, this is how you can measure, this is something might be in you or something we haven't thought about. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we talked about us in the Quran, about Muslims, about all everybody around us, He said the measurement is taqwa between us, but no one can see that taqwa except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim, he has another argument and he wants to present another statement for us to measure who is more successful when it comes to the deen. And he says, I'm going to say it in Arabic, then I'm going to translate it to English. He said, "Ad-deenu kulluhu khuluq, faman zada alayka fil khuluq, zada alayka fil deen." Something so profound, something so beautiful. He said the matter of deen, religion, Islam, all about of manners and akhlaq and behaviors and how we deal with each other. So whoever is better than you when it comes to their manners and behavior and akhlaq, they're definitely better than you when it comes to their deen. How can somebody who's so great as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah to come up with a statement like this? Unfortunately, sometime, because of the material life that we live, we differentiate between our ibadah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and between our dealing with others. But if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it so clear to us that our dealing with people affect our ibadah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali of Egypt, the recent al-Ghazali of Egypt, he says something very interesting in his book, Khuluq al-Muslim, the Muslim character. He said there is a direct correlation between ibadah and manners. Ibadah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why people has to deal with this? But he said there is a relationship between your ibadah and your dealings and your akhlaq and your manners with others. How is that possible? To explain that more, I would like to share with you a hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this hadith might sound scary, but gonna give us this hadith a perspective of how our dealings and akhlaq and manners are so important. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once he's sitting among the Sahaba and he looked at them and he said, "Atadruna man al-muflis?" He looked at the Sahaba and he said, "Do you know who's the bankrupt?" So for us now, imagine Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking you this question, who is the bankrupt? It's easy to answer that. As the way the Sahaba they answered. They said, Al-muflisun fina man la dirham lahu wa la mata'. The bankrupt among us is that person who has nothing basically, no wealth, nothing basically. Even mata', even something to use when he needs, he doesn't have anything. This is the material definition of a bankrupt. And it's easy for us now to find bankrupt because you can get the bank statement, you can show your taxes, you can file for bankruptcy, and this person is bankrupt. But this is the definition of this life, of al-hayat al-dunya, of this law life. But there is another definition for the bankrupt in the hereafter. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he described the bankrupt. He said, إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِصَلَاةٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاةٍ. The bankrupt of the ummah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking, saying now, the bankrupt of my ummah is a person who will come in the day of judgment with all sorts of ibadah, salah, siyam, and zakah. These things we must do, right? But this person, he did something else. وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَذَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا. But this person, he has the best maybe ibadah. He has enough maybe ibadah, but his relationship, his manners, his akhlaq are the worst. Because he cussed at some person, he hit some person, he called some person a bad name, or accused somebody of something bad, and maybe, you know, he spilled blood of somebody. So, is that enough? I did all the ibadah, but my relationship with people is so bad. Calling people names, yelling at people, hitting people. What's going to happen to me at the end? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now he tells us how this person is going to be bankrupt. He said, فَيُعْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. He will go on the day of judgment and people who he wronged or she wronged will be going to him and asking him, it's time to pay right now. You called me that name, you hit me, you cheated, you did all this stuff, now it's time for you to pay. So he'll start paying from his hasanat. He'll start getting people from his good deeds. And then until he has no more good deeds, what's going to happen? Then people start going to start giving him from their bad deeds. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَخَذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ فَطُرِحَتْ عَلَيْهِ. He took from their bad deeds, ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. Then he'll be thrown in hellfire. Now we establish a clear relationship between ibadah, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between our manners and akhlaq and how we deal with people around us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us in the Quran that our ibadah should affect our manners. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us as believers, make sure you establish a prayer. Establish a prayer, because a prayer will stop you from doing something indecent. And fahsha and wickedness. A sahabi, a companion to Prophet Muhammad, went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant by this ayah? That salah should have stopped me from wickedness and indecency. What does that mean? How I can do that? How can I practice that? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ لَمْ تَنْهُهُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. If your salah is not stopping you from dealing badly with others, doing wicked things toward others, doing indecencies toward others, guess what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you? You have no salah, as if you have not prayed. You don't have the reward of salah. So now we should have established in our mind and our head that ibadah is very well connected to how we deal with others. And I can be the best person who comes to the masjid every single day, 5 times a day, but my dealing with my wife and my kids and my family and everybody around you is the worst. Do you think now the ibadah that you reflected into our dealing with others? I don't think that's reflected. And the opposite also. Somebody would say, you know what? Since it's all about manners, then I don't have to do what? Ibadah. Guess what? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept your ibadah, accept your manners, good manners without ibadah? They go together. They go together. Ibadah and manners, they go together. You cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, I don't care about people. I don't have to deal with people. I can be rude to people. I can, you know, call people name. That's part of what we do. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in many of the ahadith that what we do of fast, of hajj, of many things should be prevented from saying something bad or from doing something bad toward others. And that's what it means when it comes to akhlaq and manners and dealing with others. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went a bit far and he explained to us the relationship between our akhlaq and our iman, our faith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the believer who showed the most perfect faith are those who showed the most perfect manners. So if I have the faith, if I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I say the shahada and practice the seven articles of faith, and I do all the ibadah I do, but my manners are not good. Do you think your faith is complete? Do you think you're trying to perfect your faith? I don't think so. That's not going to happen. So that's something we have to really understand. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to his definition of who are the best in society, he said, إِنَّ مِنْ خِيَارِكُمْ أَحْسَنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. Those who are the best among you are those who are what? The best in akhlaq. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came up with a new criteria to measure success in society and to measure who are the best in society. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, those with the best manners are those who are the best in society. And we should strive, we should work, we should struggle toward that goal. And what's going to happen to those people who have the best manners? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives the reward after the reward to remind us how important is that. When he said, إِنَّ مِنْ أَحَبُّكُمْ إِلَيَّ وَأَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي مَسْجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَحْسَنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. He said, the most beloved of you to me, the dearest of you to me, and the closest to me in the day of judgment are those who are the best of manner, those who are of best of manners. So this is a reminder for us that we must show a manifestation of our ibadah and our faith into our akhlaq and our manners. And our manners should show also in our ibadah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to explain this more, he tells us very beautiful hadith. He describes certain houses in Jannah. And who are the leaders of these houses? When he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أنا زعيم ببيت في ربض الجنة لمن ترك المراءة وإن كان محقا. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I guarantee a house for a person in Jannah who stop arguing with others, even if he's right. Right? And sometimes, how many arguments led to bad relationship? How many arguments led to bad manners? How many arguments led to bad akhlaq and qati'ah and cutting relationships, right? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, this is part of your akhlaq. If you stop that, I'm giving you that place in Jannah. And he said, and a house in the middle of Jannah for those who stop lying. لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مَازِحًا. Even if they're joking. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I guarantee a house for those people in the top of Jannah, في أعلى الجنة, لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ. For those people with good manners. Brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mission was to perfect the good manners. In two ahadith mentioned in one of them by Imam Ahmed, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the mission that he was sent for when he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And in another narration, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to perfect the manners, to perfect the akhlaq of society. And if we can do that, and we make sure our ibadah equivalent to our akhlaq, then this society will be the best society. And as people will be among the best people in society. And inshallah, in the second khutbah, I will talk about four things that will help us inshallah to have better manners and akhlaq. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, we should worry about our kids' manners and behaviors and akhlaq as much as we worry about their education. Imagine if your kid, your son, your daughter are the best doctor or the best in whatever field they're in, but without a manners and akhlaq, without a great relationship with everybody around them and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't think that is worth it. So it's very important for us to understand what can help us to perfect our manners. What can we help us to perfect the manners of our children? And I want to leave you inshallah with four points. Number one, to help us be the best of manners, number one is we need a role model. And the best role model was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him and he said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you're the best of character. And if you want to follow somebody who has the best of character, was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an example for the Sahaba. And imagine if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent in Arabia for the Bedouins in the desert, for those people who almost had no mercy in their hearts, for those people who were rough and tough. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was able to soften their hearts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to change them to be people of manners, people of akhlaq, people of characteristic. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that by being the role model. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say do and do without him doing it himself. And I want to share a story. I might have mentioned the story before because one of the beloved stories and a hadith to my heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he left the battle of Hunain, a young man by the name of Abu Mahdhura, he described that there were 10 boys following the army of the Muslims when they left the battlefield of Hunain. And when the adhan came, when the salah came, Abu Mahdhura and his friend tried to imitate the muadhin while the muadhin of the sahaba making the adhan. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw those 10 boys making fun of the muadhin and making fun of the adhan, he did not say nothing to them. He didn't yell at them. But as soon as Muadhin is done, he called one of the Sahaba to co-call them. So imagine, and especially I tell the students here, imagine you call to my room, for example, or the principal office, right? You will be kind of like, I'm in trouble. But imagine Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling these 10 boys. Guess what's going to happen? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going to yell at us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to now get us in trouble, right? So when they reach Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, I heard that some of you have beautiful voices. I want to hear you again. Can you start making the adhan again? So they start imitating the adhan and saying the adhan until reached to Abu Mahdhura. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you, I want you. You have beautiful adhan. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him the adhan and the iqama. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wiped his head like this and he said to him, Barakallahu fiqh, may Allah bless you, twice. And he told him, go, now be the muadhin of the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Be the muadhin of the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Can you imagine? Just 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, a few minutes ago, this person was making fun of the adhan and making fun of the muadhin. And now he became the muadhin of Masjid al-Haram. How did that happen? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, through his manner, through dealings with other. So later on, Abu Mahdhura himself described that situation maybe after 20 years. And the people around him, they see his hair that was so long, all the way to the ground. So they told him, what happened to your hair? Why did you leave his hair? So he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam touched my hair, so I wouldn't cut the hair. I wouldn't cut my hair. I wouldn't touch my hair. This is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam dealt with many people. And I can mention to you many examples of how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam dealt with the Sahaba. And one more example, Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As, he was among the people who accepted Islam late, after the 5th year of Hijrah. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always smiling, always nice to his companion and people around him. Until one day, Amr ibn al-As thought that he is the most beloved person to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he saw how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with him. So he went to him and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu al-nasi ilayk? he's like, who is the most beloved to you? Amr thought he's going to say Amr, because imagine if somebody deals with you so nicely, with good manners, you think, you know, you're loved by this person. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha radiallahu anha. So Amr said, no, I meant among the men, who do you like? He said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. Then he said, after that, he said, Umar, Uthman. He started mentioning the Sahaba until Amr was so worried that he wanted, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not mention his name. He's like, okay, I got it right now. I understand right now. I understand the point. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of that manners. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam now with us right now, we should be the manifestation of the manners and akhlaq of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our kids and our children will imitate our manners and akhlaq without us telling them. You can lecture your kids every day long, but guess what? They will not listen. But if you do something in the front of them, they will imitate that. So when your kids cuss or say bad words, don't complain. Ask yourself, where do they heard it from? Because no one went to them and told them, listen, you need to say that word or say it. They heard it somewhere and they want to practice that. If we are the best role models for our children will follow, inshallah ta'ala. The second point, what I mentioned, how can we perfect our manners and akhlaq, is companionship and friendship. For us and for our children. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave a great example of friendship and a companionship. And when he said, the example of friendship and a companionship, مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير. He said, give example. If you hang out with somebody who's good, it's like somebody who owns a perfume shop or somebody who always dealing with cologne. And if you're dealing with somebody who's bad, you're dealing with a blacksmith, with ironsmith, somebody who, you know what, hit the iron so much. He said, the person who owns a perfume, you will deal with him. So one day he'll put something for you, he'll put some cologne to you or a perfume, and you know, you will smell good dealing with that person. But if you go to the ironsmith, if that's your friend, guess what's going to happen? If I go with my white thobe that I'm wearing right now, it's going to be dark by the end of the day, because I'm going to be affected by that person. We are affected. Our manners and behaviors and akhlaq are affected by the companionship and the friends that we have with. Third thing is the messaging. This world is changing and technology is advancing. And every single day, the average people spend 8 to 10 hours on their phones. Either on social media, either on YouTube, whatever you want to call it. This is now the reality that we live in. This reality, of course, must change. 8 to 10 hours a day spending on the phones is a lot of time. And maybe, inshallah, some of us might not wasting their time by using their phone, but many, especially our youngsters, when they are on their phone, they're wasting a lot of their time. The question is, what are they receiving? What are they listening to? What are they watching? We have to be careful of what they're listening, what they're watching, what kind of messaging going there. Because many times, through the messaging that they get through phones, through social media, through technology, their manners and akhlaq and behavior affected. And then we ask ourselves, why my child is acting like this? I never taught my child to be rude. Definitely, no one would teach their children how to be rude. But guess what? What are they receiving in their head from their small devices? Sometimes there's something that we don't know. Something that we haven't watched. Something maybe it's not even appropriate for us to watch. So definitely we have to see what our kids are watching. And sometimes we have to create the alternatives of what our kids can watch in their phones and their tablets and their devices. The fourth point in how we perfect our manners and behaviors, and it should be the first point, is making dua, is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma kama hassanta khuluqi, kama hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. He used to say, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, you made my creation perfect, so make my moral characteristics perfect too. And some of the narration, they tell us this dua, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he put his garment and clothes, he was to say this dua. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us perfect our manners. And a great person of our ummah, and of one of our biggest scholars, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he had a son who never listened, as we said, who was astray. And he was so tired of teaching him. Until one day, he came up with this dua and he kept repeating this dua. He said, Allahumma innaka ta'lamu anni ijtahadtu fi ta'dibi waladi wa ta'dibi waladi falam astati'. Allahumma addibhu li. Al-Fadl ibn Iyad, he's tried to teach his son manners and behavior, but he couldn't. So until one day he came up with this dua, "Oh Allah, you know that I spent my time and effort trying to teach my kids manners and behaviors and akhlaq, but I couldn't. Oh Allah, I ask you to do that." And he kept repeating his dua until his son was among the best people in that society, in that community. Let's return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask him to help us, to ask him to support us, and to ask him to perfect our manners and behavior, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he made our creation perfect, to make our akhlaq perfect, to make our manner perfect, and to perfect our akhlaq and manner and behaviors, inshallah. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأزواجنا ولذرياتنا ولأهلينا ولأصحابنا ولطلبتنا ولمعلمينا ولمن أوصانا واستوصانا بدعاء الخير ولمن له حق علينا. اللهم كما حسنت خلقنا فحسن خلقنا. اللهم كما حسنت خلقنا فحسن خلقنا. اللهم كما حسنت خلقنا حسن خلقنا. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. أن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على آلائه ونعمه يزدكم. ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
حق لا إله إلا الله. استوى واعتدلوا. رحم الله امرئ إن ساوى نفسه. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟ الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank Brother Ahmed Batawa for his message. May Allah bless him and give us all good akhlaq, good manners, so that we're successful here in this life and in the life to come. Make dua for dua shifa for Brother Lahwari Sabah, Sister Uzma Khalid, Brother Muhammad Rafi', Brother Zafar Qureshi, Brother Dawood Ramirez, Brother Muhammad Abdul Razzaq, Sister Mahrukh Ali, Sister Munira Jilani, and Yasmin Fatir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with good health. Shafahumullah. Allahumma shfanta shafi la shafi illa anta shifa'an la yughadiru suqma. Make dua maghfira for Sister Sara Bibi, passed away in London, Sister Haji Zahra, pastor in Vietnam, and Haji Asadullah Humayu Pashtun passed away, and his funeral is today, later today at Melrose Abbey. And also our brother Munir's mother, Zubaida Fendi, passed away. May Allah bless them. May Allah bless all the people who passed away. Allahumma aghfir lahum wa rahmhum wa afihim wa afu anhum. Allahumma akrim nuzulahum ya Allah. Allahumma aghfir lahum ya Allah. Allahumma ahdi ahlahum al-sabr wa al-salwan. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khari khalqih. Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa ba'i ma'in bi rahmatika.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just have two quick announcements. We have two job openings, one for a principal for our Sunday school and another for the front office. See the newsletter for complete details. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, and also one more thing. Starting today, Asr time will be at 4:30 p.m. and Aisha will be at 8:15. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.